listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Thursday. 200 Fox Sports radio stations, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 here in Vegas. Thursday? Yep. Thursday night football. If you did well on your SATs, you know that much. We're going to have an early look with an amazing trend. Amazing. Brad Powers uncovered. He's in studio. The pro who knows. Fezzik study day back tomorrow. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on Straight Out of Vegas with Week 7 of the NFL. That's right, Week 7 in the NFL already kicks off later on tonight, 8:20 Eastern time on Fox. It is the Chiefs at the Broncos. And right now, Kansas City on the road is a three-point favorite on pregame.com.
Okay, so first I'm going to give my key question. You answer this question, I think you've got the winner against the spread. And then we're going to have Brad's trend. You excited?
I am.
All right. So here's the question. Is Mahomes healthy? Now, I think no is the most likely answer.
Yep.
Because the short week is especially problematic about recovery. You got 3 days instead of six. Now, why does that matter so much? Because a devil's advocate could say, well, wait a minute, he's playing. And even limited, what is he, the fifth, sixth best quarterback in the NFL?
That sounds about right.
All right, Jonas, sound right?
Yeah, he's top five.
All right. But I think he could be. I think he probably is the best when he's healthy. Russell Wilson, maybe this season, would be in the conversation. Okay, what's the big difference, 1-5? Well, here's what I know. Was Kansas City's defense any better last year against the run, against anything? Not really.
Agree.
Was Kansas City's effectiveness running the ball themselves and their propensity to run the ball themselves, was that any better last year or the first couple games of this season?
No, not noticeably.
So how'd Kansas City do last year? Home field advantage.
Home field advantage.
In the AFC, one play away from going to the Super Bowl. And how'd they do before he got hurt? Undefeated?
Yep.
So to me, this is something, the narrative of, oh, complimentary football. You can't be on the field. That weak defense can't be on the field more than it needs to be. Run the ball some. This is where the modern game goes off the rails. Okay. Except when Mahomes is amongst, if not the best, one or two. Great success. Second only the Patriots. And when he's not, maybe he's 5, 6, 7, that difference starts to unveil these other issues. So to me, if he's healthy, same thing as any other game prior to the last two years. And if he's not, it feels like the last two is more telling. Brad, your trend though.
Yeah, so we've been talking about this for several Thursdays in a row. Home teams on Thursday night. Good overall. Home teams on Thursday win about 60% of the time, cover about 55% of the time. But I found this very intriguing because this is the rare instance where we have a Thursday home dog this week with the Broncos. Remarkable. Thursday home dogs only win 32% of the time, only cover 45% of the time. So generally speaking, Thursday home teams really good, great. But if you're a dog, not so much.
And that's what, you know, I've done a little bit on that also. And let's think about that concept of the Thursday. Now, why is Thursday home away matter more than typically? Again, back to the rest. If you only have 3 days to prepare, having some of that time taken up for travel, big issue. Now, big negative for the road team. The distance of travel that they have to travel is part of it. Are they in division or not is part of it. And then, almost like the flip side of what we uncovered last week with the Patriots, which was when you have a gigantic, am I right, or was it 2 weeks ago?
Patriots last week.
The gigantic, your eyes started darting around. Yeah. I didn't know what it meant.
No. Sorry.
Is the gigantic spread that the Patriots were favored by. We went back and saw every line above a touchdown, or I'm sorry, above 10, the home team, or I'm sorry, the favorite dominated on Thursday. What was the rationale? Well, listen, if you don't have a lot of time to prepare, the talent exerts itself. If you got one team so much better than the other, that team's just going to win because there's not enough time to trick them. It's not come up with some Lou Holtz type game plan, right? Okay. Well, what is a road favorite? A sign that this team is significantly better. Now, I'd be interested, and maybe you can do this during the break, is look at it where if it's between 1 and 3, my guess is it's not as good because a 3-point road favor is about a 9-point home favor. But now when you get up to 4, you're at 10. So my guess is around 4, if it's the flip side, it's going to be like, wow, this team is that much better. Right, being 4 on the road is commensurate with being 10 at home, favored by 4, favored by 10. And now that quality team over relative the opponent, that's when the talent disparity is so much that they just dominate due to the short week. I'm not sure, but I do at times have premonitions. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Jonas, what's the fans' instinct on this baby?
It's the first time we've seen Patrick Mahomes with a little bit of adversity over an extended period of time. He struggled in the first half of the AFC title game, but he rebounded, and they made a game out of that, and they forced overtime, and they were in that game until very late. This is the first time we've seen him in consecutive weeks show a little bit of a struggle, whether it be injury or not, and also the week before at Detroit. No touchdown passes in that game. They really had to battle to win that game on the road, so I'm curious to see how Andy Reid counterpunches.
Though in hindsight, having to battle to win on the road against Detroit
still is
not so bad.
Yeah, still a good win. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean what we saw from the marketplace on Monday night, Detroit was considered to be the better team over Green Bay because Green Bay has a home field of 4 and 3.5 was the line. So Brad, you've got the numbers here. And again, this was going, there's a chance I'm going to be wrong here. What do we got?
So teams that are laying 1-3 on the road Thursday, straight up 27-21 against the spread, about even 23-24 with a push.
Okay, and then above that,
oh, big one.
Yeah, because to me, that's what I expected. Right? Is I expected the idea is the big fit because your point is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brad. I know your point is road favorites on Thursday do well. Right?
Yep, absolutely.
Because we've always said it's the home team. And what I'm saying is, okay, what we've seen is road favorites, or what we know is road favorites who are big road favorites are dominant teams. And dominant teams do very well on Thursday. So amongst all the road favorites, you're going to have the small ones. And my guess was those were going to be break even.
Yep.
And that's what they were.
They were.
So what are the big favorites?
Big favorites win 70% of the time, cover 54% of the time. Another one for RJ Bell.
Well, you know, listen, again, that's a small, I mean, but it still shows you as much as we're saying road teams are bad on Thursday, in this case, if you have a road favorite over what number?
Over 3.
So 3 is in that smaller group.
Yep, in that smaller group. So if you're laying 3.5 or more, you win 70% of the time, cover 55% of the time.
Do you know how some people get premonitions? I'm one of them.
So it's a good takeaway. But I think the reoccurring theme here, and it's fascinating to really drill down, as much as we talk about home, maybe it's more about how good the team is relative to the other team. Now you might say, RJ, it's always how good a team is. Yeah, but the spread accounts for that. And thus, if there's an artificial reason that this distance, let's say just 10 points on a neutral, if that distance is so much that the lack of prep time means more than anything, well, it's shown itself, right? Because home favorites over 10, So that would be 7 points or more in a neutral. They've dominated. Road favorites, more than three, have won even though road teams do so horribly otherwise.
Yep.
So what I'm feeling is it's both. There's two major factors on Thursday. Road teams at a big disadvantage. A dominant team over the opposition has even a bigger advantage than typically. And thus, when you combine the two, a dominant home team, boom, it's like 18-4 against the spread.
You're right, 18-4.
And then if you look at the dominant road team, they overcome the negativity of the road, but just by a smidge to get to 54%. So we got it. We've cracked the. We can cancel the rest of the Thursday games, Brad.
No, we're done.
Though I guess to some degree that would be counterproductive. When we come back, you know, Brad, you did such a good job. First time ever, I'm going to let you do the tease.
Really?
What's coming up?
Oh yeah.
Coming up next, we're going to start previewing the biggest games of the week, both college and pro, and Jim Harbaugh's most important two-game stretch in his career.
We may or may not be doing that.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell, and that's Brad Powers, and I'm Jonas Knox, and this is a pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we have some quarterback replacements around the NFL.
Thanks for joining us. Big Thursday night football game coming up. Strong takes. It's 86 degrees here on the Strip. And you can listen to it. You know, I mixed that order up. Can you believe that? We're going to start all over again. Take two. Okay. Thanks for joining us, everybody. You can listen to us. 200 Fox Sports Radio stations across the country. FoxSportsRadio.com. iHeartRadio app. Also, SiriusXM podcast. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now in Vegas on the Strip, it's 86 degrees. And the neon is chugging.
So, RJ, we had some quarterback changes around the NFL this week as we get ready for week 7 around the league. The first of which we're going to take a look at is Tennessee, where Marcus Mariota goes to the bench. Ryan Tannehill is now the starter, and the Titans are a 2.5-point favorite hosting the Chargers.
And we've got information from Fezzik on this, our NFL foundation. And I think the thing he's helped me see the most, Fezzik has, in the last year or so, is how these quarterbacks are not just about how good they are on the field. It's what is the enthusiasm of the team around the quarterback change. Because one of the things we saw with Daniel Jones, for example, was we weren't so sure he was better than Eli initially, though he played very well initially and not so well later. So who knows there? But what we know is, for sure, is we know that the Giants were excited about someone other than Eli. And we saw it on the field.
Oh, against Tampa Bay, absolutely you did.
And I think to some degree you could say sense. Even win, lose, it feels like a more energized Giants team.
Yep.
Would you agree with that, Jonas?
Yeah, 100%.
So as we go through this list, I think we got to keep in mind, what is the on-the-field quarterback adjustment, and then what is the team enthusiasm factor, right? Which could be positive or negative. Trubisky against Daniel. Fezzik says no change.
Yep.
I'm kind of in the Trubisky is a little bit better.
I am too.
What's your thinking?
I'm thinking at least a half point, if not 1 point, for Trubisky over Daniel. And look, I was very positive about Chase Daniel.
Yes.
Coming into that Raiders game, I bet the Bears. I thought Chase Daniel wasn't that big of a downgrade. I thought the market overreacted. Guess what? After that game, after I lost one of my biggest NFL bets of the year, yeah, I'm not such a Chase Daniel fan, RJ.
You know who Chase Daniel reminds me of? That coach that you like so much, that it's at Iowa State or something.
Matt Campbell?
Yeah. Here's what it is. It's easy to sit back and abstractly say, you know, in theory, if you look at his arm strength and you look at this and you look at that, and it's like, okay, well, what's the goal here? It's the complete passes. All right, how long has Daniel been in the league? Okay. And how many went? Oh, not so good, huh? Okay. All of the times that we try to reimagine, we try to reconsider these quarterbacks from Fitzpatrick to whomever, When has it ever worked? When has I guess the one exception you could make the case, and I just have a soft spot in my heart for him. I mean, if you bring a team to the Super Bowl as a backup,
yeah,
I'm thinking there's something that everyone can say, oh, that was a short sample size. And I guess, though, when you get hurt after like eight passes, you can say, but I mean,
he played well in last year's playoffs, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
So otherwise, and let's say we're not sure in that case, name me the quarterback retread that ever has done well in any way, like even a full year of playing well.
I don't think we have one. Maybe Teddy right now.
Rich Gannon.
If he continues.
Rich Gannon had a rebirth in Oakland, but there's really not many.
Now, I don't remember, was Gannon a non-starter before that?
He started before that, but he didn't put up nearly the numbers that he did with the Raiders.
But he was a steady starter, though.
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, so I still think that's a good example of like a surprisingly, but under that theory, oh, how could I be having a mental block? The Redskins quarterback that was on Minnesota.
Kirk Cousins?
No.
Case Keenum.
Keenum. Everybody flipped it. Sorry about that mental block. Is with Keenum, I mean, if you look at his 2017, he had the second best QBR in the NFL.
Yep.
So the idea of that, here's a guy that was mediocre at best, and then he's the second best quarterback for a full season, and then he's back to being mediocre.
Yeah.
Was it fluky? Was it the dynamic of that team that particular year? I don't know. So Trubisky, I've got a smidge better. And I think part of that is the team knows their future is not Chase Daniel.
Agree.
There's a chance the future is Trubisky. So having him in there helps.
Yep.
Number two, if you're playing close games, Chicago against the Saints, low total, lines 3, a running quarterback is much, 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 much more valuable. So Trubisky's willingness to run is very valuable in a game like that, whereas in a lot of games, a running quarterback's not as valuable. Would you agree with that?
Totally agree with that.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Brad Powers, Jonas Knox. All right, next one. Mariota and Tannehill. What do you think, Jonas?
I think Tannehill's a better quarterback. I think it was only a matter of time before Mariota got benched. Mike Vrabel was not on the staff that was part of the group that picked mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota. He's got no ties to him, so I think Ryan Tannehill was the better quarterback.
Now, what's funny, though, in game theory, if you think about a coach trying to absolve himself, by playing Mariota for that period of time, he kind of absolved them, meaning if they had done poor, or even now saying, well, they haven't really done all that. What, you know, they've been mediocre, a little bit better. Well, hey, that's your quarterback. We gave him a chance. It's like a reset again.
I like that game theory.
Yeah, if he would have came in, and I'm not saying this was the reason, but if he would have came in and made a change right away, he owns it now. Does he even own it now? Meaning they had to get, you know, a backup quarterback.
No, he doesn't.
He won't own it till next year.
Yep.
Pretty smart if that's true.
Yeah.
Fezzik says 0 points again. Whew, I disagree. I think Tannehill.
Yeah.
Remember, and this is the old, you know, if it's lightning out and if the temperature is between 60 and 80 kind of thing. But when Tannehill was healthy with Gase, they were a pretty decent team.
Yeah, I would say probably 15 to 20, average to slightly below average quarterback.
1 to 32, you're
yes.
saying. So does anyone here think that Mariota is the 15th best quarterback
no,
in the NFL?
No.
So unless Tannehill's dropped off significantly with inactivity, I think he's better. Right? I mean, I'm not even sure how we debate.
At least he showed something while he was healthy. I mean, Mariota's had flashes, but nothing consistent for a 10-15 game stretch.
That's a good point. If you put together the best 10-game stretch of these two, it's not even close, probably. Last thing, let's talk about team when it comes to Mariota and Tannehill. I think the team knows. They're not only seeing the game, they're seeing every snap at practice to a degree, although they're not watching every snap. They might be over in the other side of the field. They know how good, especially after all these years, Mariota is. And I don't think anyone could possibly think that's the future of the NFL. So in a way, the change is a relief. Even if you don't think Tannehill is the answer, it feels like when you're not in a good place, a change is good, unless it's clearly not, right? If I'm not doing so well and someone says, hey, there's a 50-50 chance this is going to help, bring it on, right? So again, Fezzik with, again, he's been noncommittal lately, but again, we think, we all agree on this one, right?
Yeah,
Tannehill, a slight upgrade.
Yeah.
And finally, Fitzpatrick versus Rosen. So he's got Fitzpatrick, Fezzik does, 1.5 points better. What do you think, Jonas?
I don't know if it's that much.
So some.
Yeah, some. I think he's better right now, yeah.
Brett?
Some. I agree with Jonas here, but can I put on my Fez's voice right now?
Give it a try.
Well, last week when I was watching the Dolphins, you know, they were getting beat 17-3 and they looked like a dead cat. No, they had nothing going on. And then all of a sudden, Fitzmagic comes into the game. And what do you know? The Dolphins, the worst offense in the NFL, not one but two touchdowns, almost pull off a big win. That's why I think Fitzmagic, even though he was Fitztragic at the start of the season, that's why I think he's a big upgrade.
No, you forgot the following. And there was a point in the third quarter where they flashed on the center's eyes, and I could just tell. I could tell that he was more engaged. Yeah, Fez is he's like a kind of guy you throw a bunch of corn on the ground, and he's going to find some pattern. But I got to be honest with you.
I love him.
He's got a mansion and a yacht for a reason. Let's not lie.
Yeah, and I got a condo.
All right. Still not so bad. You're 20 years younger. Here's my take on it. I think that if I could somehow even have an entire, let's say I could have Belichick take one of these quarterbacks, Rosen or Fitzpatrick, and it's only for 1 year. Because remember, whenever you're talking long term, it's always about age, right? Who's got more shelf life potentially. And if it's just 1 year, it's just who's better now. You give me a full training camp, full offseason, I want Rosen. I think he's more talented. There's I was reading another quarterback article about something else, and they were quoting that Rosen was the most NFL-ready quarterback coming out of that draft, and it wasn't even close, was the quote that made the rounds. Okay, well, it doesn't seem like that. Could they be that wrong? I don't think so. I think what happened was last year Arizona had the worst offensive line after the injuries maybe we've ever seen, at least for a decade. And I really think that's a debate. There hasn't been a worse offensive line. You can't throw from your back. Now, also you look back, the staff, how often do coaches get fired in the NFL after 1 year, a head coach?
It rarely ever happens.
So they were that bad in the building. And Rosen, by all accounts, or most accounts, has a difficult personality.
Yep.
Maybe the cost of brilliance. Well, let's see some brilliance, but okay. So now you trade him to what? Potentially the most dysfunctional team? The most disruptive locker room? You know, whereas people are calling their agents after games trying to get traded? Is that an environment for Rosen to step up? He could if he was a Tom Brady type. He's not.
Yep.
The question is he better than Andy Dalton year three? I think it's possible. I think he could be the 22nd best quarterback. I just don't think he's been given a chance. So today, Fitzpatrick, with any potential, though, if we're talking potential, it's Rosen. I just don't think he might ever get a chance. Though I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots, this is the time they pick him up after he's cut at the end of the year or whatever, is my guess is what's going to happen. And last thing, I think Fitzpatrick's even more of an advantage now because they made this decision midweek. Why would it? If it was based upon Sunday's game, they would have decided after they watched the film, right? On Monday or whatever. The fact they waited means something happened, and it probably wasn't on the field. So if something so egregious happened, and I don't have any idea, that they made a midweek switch, and let me ask one more time, why else would they do that on Wednesday, go from Rosen to Fitzpatrick? Because the way he practiced, after all this time?
Especially after last week, Brian Flores came out and said that Josh Rosen's a starter for the remainder of the season.
Exactly. So to me, something happened, which means the locker room turned on him, maybe. He got in an argument with a player, and it just became like, this guy's toxic. And again, I'm not saying that's the case, and that's a strong word. I probably shouldn't use it. I feel like there's something more than on the field here. Thus, there's going to be that initial relief. Oh, finally, we don't have to hear this guy of the team, which I think adds, at least in week one, even more enthusiasm for Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
You know, I was listening to Silver on the sound there, and, you know, let's be honest, Silver's gotten amazing marks from pretty much everybody since he's taken over. I give him a ton of credit. You can look it up if you don't recall. He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times years ago saying, if we're involved in daily fantasy sports, it's hypocritical to say gambling is a problem because you can bet on players, but you can't bet on teams. He was ahead of that, and that kind of stuff helps, right? It all adds up. It's not so much are you supporting it, it's are you standing in the way of it actively. All that said, did that make any sense? And then when you throw the word adjudicate in,
that's
like
what
you're
I got
purposely
out of
saying you don't want people to know what you're saying because, yeah, there's going to be a nice percentage of no, but there's going to be a nice percentage of don't, right? So he's figuring, I'll use a couple big words, hope no one gets it, but it sounds official. Because, again, I'm not one. I understand the business side of things very well. I'm very comfortable with the transactional nature of many things in this existence of ours. In fact, I've kind of developed my life around it, trying to price these transactions. But Jonas, you're a fan. I mean, do you look at that, what the NBA did, and could you even play devil's advocate with a straight face?
No.
That it hasn't just been, hey, the dollars were too big to go this way.
No, they're scrambling to try and save face, and they should just move on and start the season. It's a take the L. There's nothing you can do.
You got to wonder, and I know a lot of people love President Trump, a lot of people don't. But I think any objective observer would say he's proven that straight talk can work in certain circumstances. He said things explicitly no other politician would. And if Silver just walked out and said, Commissioner Silver, and just said, you know something? It was a horrible situation. I hated it. And again, I guess the catch-22 here is he can't say anything overtly against the Chinese. You can't make a decision to support the Chinese and then come back and explain how, hey, it was just for the money, because then you're going again. But there's some way to just kind of say, guys, there's 2 billion people over here. Come on. And do we really think, like Jonas, you'd hear that and nod and say, yeah, I get it.
I'd have more respect for him now than maybe ever in his tenure as commissioner.
And the funny thing is, it wouldn't be like we're going to support you know, people being killed. We're not like there is a price that we aren't willing to pay, but it isn't this. It's billions at stake. You disagree? We're sorry. It's like, to me, some people are going to disagree with that, but I think it's probably less. And even if they disagree with it, they're going to respect the honesty, because who doesn't know that's going on now? That it's a money issue. I don't know. It just feels like if at minimum, more straight talk isn't necessarily doomed, right, to be a bad thing. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. So, Jonas, we're looking at these three gigantic monster games.
Yeah, that's right. And let's get it started with one in the NFL. We've got the Baltimore Ravens on the road to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Right now on pregame.com, Seattle is a 3-point favorite.
Now, listen, we're going to say this succinctly because we say it a lot. We say it a lot because it's important. 3 is the most valuable number in the NFL. If a game has a line around 3, the favorite wins by exactly 3, nearly 10% of the time. So if you're laying 3.5 instead of 3, you're going to lose when it falls 3. And if you're laying 2.5 instead of 3, you're going to win when it falls 3. It's that important. I like Baltimore at 3.5, but man, I'm tempted not to. It's like one of those things, I want to do it, but something's holding me back. Here's why I want to do it. I believe Seattle is overrated. And we've done this exercise before. it bears repeating. What's Seattle's impressive wins? You know, when you win at home by one on a Thursday against the Rams, that's not a bad. I'm not saying Seattle's the 20th best team. I'm saying some people say they're the fourth or fifth best.
Yeah.
I think they're the 10th or 12th best. And that win, as we look at the Rams dropping off, that win doesn't blow me away. Beating the Steelers, the game Big Ben goes down in the first quarter on the road, it's not horrible, but that's not. So what is what jumps out at anyone?
There isn't one. Browns last week on the road.
And again, that was a tight one.
Four wins by a total of 8 points.
Yeah. So that's good. And if you think about that, imagine if they'd be what, 1-5?
Yeah.
A couple of field goals. Well, I guess it had to be a field goal in every game. But I mean, literally, they're that far away from being 1-5. That doesn't mean they should be 1-5, but they probably, when there's coin flips, little hint here, Vegas inside, you should win 50% of them.
Yep.
Right? And they're winning more than 50%. So intrinsically, that means they're going to be overrated, because the best way, probably the best way to find overrated teams are the teams that are winning the close games. Because Freddie Fanny Pack, Barney at the Bar, those guys look at the record with so much fidelity. They feel so strongly about, that's a winner. Okay. Most of the time, it's a coin flip.
Yep.
When there are the close games. So if you win more than half, you're probably overrated. If you lose more than half, you're probably underrated. The reason I don't love it, even at 3.5, this Baltimore defense is not good. All right. And Lamar Jackson, to me, is still unproven. And what we've seen is sometimes he's running a lot, sometimes he's passing a lot. I just don't know. And it feels like the gig is going to be up, the gig is up. I'm not sure of the phrase. The jig is going to be up soon, I'm thinking, because you can only, you don't trick people. It feels like they're being tricky.
Yep.
And if someone's being tricky, I'm not saying don't be tricky if you have tricks up your sleeve, but when you run out of tricks, what's left? And it feels like Baltimore has been trickier than they maybe would be if they didn't need to be, because you could hold those tricks back. Remember, there's the famous story of Belichick had a play against Baltimore. He was holding back. They played in the regular season. He didn't use it on him. He was waiting for the playoffs. Yep. Right? Now, you can hold those tricks back a little bit. And Harbaugh's a good coach. I think all the tricks is telling us that he's not super confident yet with Lamar. And when I say tricks, I'm not talking trick plays. I'm talking about schematic stuff, etc. So I have a strong lean towards Baltimore. I'm not sure if I'm going to bet it. When we come back, we're going to look at the two other big games of the weekend and Thursday Night Football with a pick.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm Brad Powers. This is Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We have got big games coming up this weekend in the NFL and in college football. We're going to start off in college, the big one in the Big Ten on Saturday night. Number 16, Michigan at number 7, Penn State. Right now, the Nittany Lions are a 9-point favorite on pregame.com.
And I like and have bet Penn State here -9. And it's all about a fade of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh. Here's what Jim Harbaugh is his entire career at Michigan as an underdog. He's 0-7. So I'll use RJ's voice for a dumb guy. Well, they're supposed to lose
the
game.
You're saying I'm dumb?
No.
Oh, your dumb guy voice.
Dumb guy voice. Well, they're supposed to lose the game. That's why they're an underdog. So he's 0-7. So what? But the spread factors that into the equation. That is the expectation. And in those 7 games as an underdog, Harbaugh is failing to cover the spread by 10 points per game. On the road, in Happy Valley, whiteout, probably the most hostile environment in all of college football this season. I like Penn State. I bet Penn State -9.
The logic to me of Harbaugh not covering as a dog, and let's say if it's 1-6 or 0-7, it's a variation on a theme. He's underperforming in those roles.
Yep.
When you have a physical team that is an underdog, oftentimes you're being out physical.
Yep.
And when that's the case, what do you got left? Right? And we've seen that with the Wisconsins of the world. Typically, they will do well even as underdogs if it's a small dog. You get to the, you know, speed kills. You get to the place where you just can't compete. And I think it goes back to recruiting. In hindsight, is Harbaugh recruiting at a high level, or at least a top 10 type level? Because that's what Ohio State does, for sure. That's the expectations. He's losing against those teams. If anything, he's been hyper-consistent against the teams he's better than.
Yep.
Right? So it's he's more physical, this team, than most. But when he's not, he doesn't have another punch.
Yep, I like that.
And keep in mind,
he smells.
So you got to add it all up.
We're going to take a look at another top 20 matchup coming up here in just a moment. I want to let you know that Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone knows there are all different kinds of jobs out there. If you've got a today job, select free same-day store pickup. If you'd rather take care of the job tomorrow, you can order as late as 10 p.m. with free next-day delivery on AutoZone.com. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Number 17, Arizona State at number 13, Utah on pregame.com. The Utes are a 13.5-point favorite.
And I like Arizona State here plus the 13.5. But first, I must admit, I was wrong about Herm Edwards. Here's a guy that I was very skeptical of Herm being a success in college. Hadn't coached in college since 1989. Hadn't coached anywhere in 10-plus years. And yet, of all these coaches, the Scott Frost, all these guys, Chip Kelly's that have been hired in a year or two, it's Herm Edwards that's had the most success. And check this out, RJ.
Can you think of anyone that was a fan of Edwards coming in?
RJ Bell was.
And my thinking was, quite simply, what it takes to be a coach these days is more of a CEO. And a guy that's been on TV, that's got those qualities at minimum, is going to do better than people think. And I think to some degree we're seeing that with Gruden.
Yeah, and in 19 games so far as a head coach, Herm Edwards has yet to lose a game by more than 11. Spreads 13.5. Give me the Sun Devils.
All right, so that's a bet.
Yep, that is a bet.
Two bets. Yes. Two bonus best bets. I'm not going to go crazy here on the Thursday night game. That was Brad Powers, by the way, on Twitter, at Brad Powers 7. All one jumbled word. Here's my thinking, and Doug Gottlieb really got me thinking this way just from the segment we did earlier. Denver altitude, Denver physical defense. If Mahomes is less than 100%, and I think he is, Denver on the road on a short week is probably the perfect storm against Kansas City. Altitude makes you tired. Playing defense makes you tired. They're going to play a lot of defense against a running team. It's very possible that Denver dominates this game. And I also think it's very possible Kansas City, Mahomes is better than we think, and they dominate. So what I would say is, if you like Denver, bet the money line. This feels like a game that it really could be a surprising result. I would avoid teasers, because teasers are buying points, and I would look to say high variance. Like, I'd love to take Denver laying 6.5 with a big payoff. Obviously, you'd have to get a big payoff on it. So not an official pick, because we don't force those. I would say, though, if you like Denver, look at the money line. Tomorrow, pick Palooza, baby.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back tomorrow for a Football Friday. Nothing but the NFL and college football. 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart Radio app.
Straight Out of Vegas!